This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Now then, today, the final message in a series of seven called Seven Prayers That Can Change Your Life. They're all from the book of Psalms. We close this week with Psalm 39 that says, Lord, you alone are my hope. That's a verse that not only defines who you are in terms of what you believe, but it defines who you are as a person when you can say and mean it, Lord, you are my hope. This was given right before Christmas, thus there's some Christmas-related comments, but it's a prayer that can speak to your life and change your life if you pray it today. God bless you as you listen. Peter Vallender is an author who writes an interesting piece about Christmas. He said, it's easy for me to think that I'm the center of everything, the center of the world. A local radio personality in my city remarked, I was astounded when I discovered that our city is at the exact geographic center of the entire surrounding area. Now, some of you have to think about it. You'll realize that was very funny. Profound nonsense, he says. Yet often, we function as though the world does revolve around us personally. To be always at the center of things as though we are solely responsible for all that happens around us is not only overwhelming, it's discouraging, it's depressing. Listen to that again. To be always at the center of things, or to think we are, that we're solely responsible for all that happens around us, is not only overwhelming, it's discouraging. It's depressing, and he's absolutely right. Do not raise your hand, but some of you have somebody in your family, extended family, where you work, where you go to school, your circle of influence, where there's somebody who does live as if they're the center of the world, the universe. It all revolves around them. Everything that happens in their point of view is about them. Everything that happens in the world scene is about them. And I've read material describing how people live like that and how they really believe that. They're one-dimensional people. It's all about them. They're not two-dimensional or even three-dimensional with God as a part of the picture. It's one-dimensional. It's all about me. You say, where are you going with that? Today, the last of seven prayers to change your life from the book of Psalms. We're going to read where David, the psalm writer, says this. He comes to the place in his life where he looks at the Lord and says, you are my hope. That's it. You're the center of the universe, not me. You are the center of the universe, not my money, not what I own. But Lord God Almighty, you are my hope. It could be the most spiritual change point in somebody's life today. When at the end of today, you're going to pray this prayer. I'm hoping that you will, and I'll even suggest how you do it, where you will pray these words, Lord, you are my hope. My hope is in you. It's in Psalm 39. We've been preaching seven prayers that can change your life. They've all been from the book of Psalms. Not that there aren't prayers elsewhere in the Bible that can change your life. That's not the intent at all. But we're just looking at seven prayers that can change your life. Today we're looking at verse 4, the bottom line. Show me, O Lord, my life's end, David says. Show me my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. Man is a mere phantom. As he goes to and fro, he bustles about, but only in vain. He heaps up wealth, money, not knowing who will get it. And here's the key verse, verse 7. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. My hope is in you. Well, would it make any difference in your life or mine if we really believe that to be true? Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you.
My mom was one of those people, still is, who puts scriptures and positive thoughts up on the bathroom mirror. Anybody do that? You do that yourself. Some of you do that with a refrigerator. Some of you do that on a car dashboard. Some of you do it on an electronic appliance or electronic device where you put sayings to encourage you. If there's one statement that you could give to yourself, a gift you could give, would be to have verse 7, my hope is in you, Lord. my hope is in you. And that could really make a difference spiritually and in a lot of ways in your life. Let's look at verse 4. Show me, O Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life. If you've ever heard me preach, you know that I'm big into word meanings. I like to look up words in the original Hebrew or the original Greek and to see if there's some, like a stone, a diamond, you turn a stone and you see different facets in the stone and different light beams come out of that because you see a different facet of the stone. I like to do that with words. And so I looked up the word in the Hebrew for the word end, the number of my days, show me my life's end. And I was expecting something really dramatic. And you know what it means? The end. That's all it means. Show me my life's end. Why would you share a message right before Christmas on show me my life's end? Because it could be the greatest thing you could do for yourself is to pray that prayer. To know that we aren't here permanently in life. There is a start date and there is an end date to a thing called your life and my life. And listen carefully. It's not just teenagers who have the attitude that I'm going to live forever. I know 20 and 30 somethings who have that attitude. I know 40 and 50-somethings who have that attitude. And maybe some 60-somethings who have that attitude that I'm going to live forever, and they live as if they're going to live forever. And David has the heart and the honesty to say, Lord, show me, oh Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how transient or how fleeting, how transitory my life is. And then verse 5 says, you have made my days as a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath. I've got to confess to you that for years, I'm talking decades, I thought that verse, handbreadth, meant that it was the distance between the tip of your thumb and the tip of your little finger. I thought that's a handbreadth. That's not what it means. Every single biblical commentary in the Old Testament says, here's a handbreadth, four fingers. So even what I thought was my life, that long, it's only this long, four fingers wide. What's the point? It's brief. Those of you that turned 40 recently, do you remember going through some thoughts about, man, I can't believe I'm 40 already? Those of you that turned 50, did you go through a phase where you said, 50 years old, I'm, you know, just what Brian Bill talked about. Long hair, longing for hair at 50, perhaps. We all get to a place in life, whether it's 30, 40, 50, 60, we look back and say, where did the years go? And it's funny how the older you get, you look differently at the time frame, don't you? At the time you have left. At the time you have left, that you don't know that every day is a gift, perhaps, from the Lord. Every week is a gift that you haven't received yet. Every year that we talk about, next year we're going to do this, and 5 years from now we're going to do this. The book of James says, you don't even know if you'll live tomorrow. And that's true with you and with me.
Well, we'll continue with this final message in the series called Seven Prayers That Can Change Your Life. This week from Psalm 39 that says, Lord, my hope is in you. I think it can be one of the greatest prayer moments in your life to acknowledge that, to pray it, and to mean it for you and for me. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. God bless you and thanks for listening.
Verse 6 says, man is a mere phantom. I don't like the word phantom. I looked that up and found out it can mean shadow. Man is like a shadow. Have you ever watched your shadow with the sunlight and you walk under a tree and your shadow's gone, it disappears, and you come out from under the tree and your shadow's back, and you walk in front of a house or a building and the shadow's gone. And the shadow implication is really dramatic for me. It's here and it's there and it's gone. It's long, it's short, it changes. And that's how David describes our life. Man is a mere shadow as he goes to and fro. He bustles about only in vain. He heaps up wealth, not knowing who will get it. Again, don't raise your hands, but every family here has a situation where you can think of in your immediate family, your extended family, a circle of influence with work or family or friends, where you know there's been a dispute over who's going to get what in an estate. You know, lawyers make a lot of money with billable hours, ironing out the struggles with people, with who gets what, who doesn't get what. And isn't it interesting that 3,500 years ago or thereabouts, David says, man heaps up wealth not knowing who's going to end up with it. Do you know who that's true for? You and me. You don't know who's going to end up with your stuff that you think is so important or I think is so important. All of this leads up to verse 7, where David says, but now, Lord, what do I look for? That's your question. Some of you are looking for Christmas to do for you what only the Lord can do for you. Some of you are looking to money to do for you what only the Lord God Almighty can do. Some of you are looking to sex to do for you what only the Lord God Almighty can do. Some of you are looking to things, a job, a career, a house, a boat, a car, to do for you what only the Lord God Almighty can do for you. And David's question is very pertinent, very time appropriate. But now, Lord, what do I look for? And he gives the answer. My hope is in you. Folks, if that statement is true, my hope is in you, do you realize what that means about all the stuff we invest emotional energy in? All the things we invest psychic energy, emotional energy in, the things that are temporary when David's discovered, my hope is in you. Brian Bill, the minister that I quoted earlier who turned 50, writes a powerful piece about this passage. He said, maybe you've had someone close to you who has died unexpectedly. Maybe you've just recently lost your job. Maybe your marriage is in trouble and you're wondering privately if you'll stay together. Will you be together in 3 years, 5 years? Your parents' health is fading fast. Your children are not living like they should. Your bills are piled up like mountains on your desk. You've had an accident that has altered the trajectory of your life. You've just received some health news that's not very promising. Perhaps a close relationship, friendship, has ruptured. I've never heard anyone use the word rupture with a friendship. I just share this parenthetically. I read an interesting article by a psychologist talking about the phenomena of Facebook and how that Facebook has been the ruiner of many a relationship. We think Facebook is great, but it causes jealousy and it causes resentment. And there are things that happen via and through the venue of Facebook. I started to say Spacebook, but Facebook. Maybe we should call it Spacebook. But Facebook, that relationships are over and people say, I'll never speak to him again.
Well, I want you to hear the rest of this psychiatrist's comment tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Perhaps a close relationship, friendship, has ruptured. I've never heard anyone use the word rupture with a friendship. I just share this parenthetically. I read an interesting article by a psychologist talking about the phenomena of Facebook and how that Facebook has been the ruiner of many a relationship. We think Facebook is great, but it causes jealousy and it causes resentment. And there are things that happen via and through the venue of Facebook. I started to say Spacebook, but Facebook. Maybe we should call it Spacebook. But Facebook, that relationships are over and people say, I'll never speak to him again. I'll not only defriend him, I'll have nothing to do with him. I'll have nothing to do with her. Isn't it interesting? And then he went on to talk about how devastating it can be in some people's lives when they have a friendship that goes south. Man, we were good buddies. He didn't even speak to me. She was one of my best friends and she has nothing to do with me. And there's an emotional traumatic experience that can come out of that. And Brian Bill is right that maybe you've had a close relationship that's ruptured. And then he says this, maybe your childhood was filled with more abuse than affirmation. Interesting way of putting it. Maybe your childhood was filled with more abuse than affirmation. And he says this, what do you do when you're faced with an avalanche of agony? And you feel like God is playing hide and seek with you. I'd like to suggest today that it's okay to declare your doubts and lament about your loss. Some of you think that Christians shouldn't question God, and so you keep your concerns bottled up. Friend, it's much better to ask God where he's been than it is to wear your spiritual smiles and act like everything's going well when you know good and well it's not. Follow the prayer paradigm of the psalmist because they will validate and normalize your sadness, your hurt, your alienation, your questions, your doubts, your anger, and your confusion. Then he writes this, which is really appropriate to this whole series. Live in the Psalms. Read the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. Pray the Psalms. That's what we've been doing for the last 7 weeks. Write them out, sing them. And he's absolutely right. My hope is in you. Here's the point I want to make. If you're going to go on with anything else, it's this. Sooner or later, every man comes to the definitive moment in his life where he recognizes where his hope really is. Sooner or later, a woman will come to the place in her life, and hopefully it's not her deathbed or his deathbed, where they realize where hope really is. And all I'm asking you to do is decide that my hope is in the Lord right now. My hope is in the Lord right now. And I really believe that can be a powerful moment in your life. When you get alone today, and I'm not suggesting that is some, you know, false exercise and knowing, wink, wink, that nobody's going to do this. I really believe that people will do it. I believe you're going to do it, and I'm going to do it. We're going to get alone with Psalm 39, and you're going to say in the corner of your room, by the bedside, wherever you go, a closet, the garage, wherever, show me, O Lord, my life's end. Then you pause and let the Lord, and this through his Holy Spirit, speak to your heart and your spirit. Show me the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. And then you come to verse 7. And if you haven't already, I'm going to ask you this, to fall on your knees and say, my hope is in you. My hope is in you, Lord. You know what? God will honor that humble act more than you will ever imagine. Not because you'll do it out of some dramatic effect, but because it really is true in your life. My hope is in you. Before Diane Sawyer was a guy named Charlie Gibson. Some of you remember who Charlie Gibson was, the former host of Good Morning America. He was in the anchor chair. Before Charlie Gibson was a man by the name of Peter Jennings from Canada, guy who did it for years, great, great announcer, died of lung cancer, I believe. But before Peter Jennings was a man by the name of Harry Reasoner. Most people in this room don't have a clue who Harry Reasoner is, but some of you do. Nothing showbiz about him, nothing flashy, just straight up newscasting of the old style. I didn't know that Harry Reasoner was a believer in Christ until recent years. I want you to listen to what he writes about Christmas. There's only three ways of accepting Christmas. One is cynical, as a time to make money or endorse the making of it. Secondly, it's to accept it graciously, the appropriate attitude for non-Christians who wish their fellow citizens all the joys to which their beliefs entitle them. And the third way to accept Christmas, of course, is reverently. If this is the anniversary of the appearance of the Lord of the universe in the form of a helpless baby, it's a very important day. It's a startling idea, of course. My guess is that the whole story of that a virgin was selected by God to bear his son as a way of showing his love and concern for man is not an idea that's been popular with a lot of people, including theologians. It's an illogical idea. It's revolutionary thought that could only come from a God who is beyond logic and beyond theology. It has magnificent appeal. Harry Reasoner says almost nobody has seen God and almost nobody has any real idea of what God is like. And the truth is that among men, the idea of seeing God suddenly and standing in a very bright light is not necessarily a completely comforting idea. But everyone has seen a baby. And most people like them. If God wanted to be loved as well as feared, he moved correctly here. If he wanted to know his people as well as rule them, he moved correctly here. For a baby growing up learns all about people. If God wanted to be intimately a part of man, he moved correctly. For the experiences of birth and familyhood are our most intimate and precious experiences. And then Harry Reasoner says one of the most important things I've ever heard anybody say about Christmas. You ready for it? Here it is. Christmas is either utterly, completely false, or it's the truest thing in the world. Listen to that again. Christmas is either utterly, completely false. It's a lie. It's a hoax. or it's completely true. It's the truest thing in the world. Decide what Christmas means for you when you decide who Christ is to you. Christmas will not do for you what only Jesus Christ can do. Remember that. This is not about looking to Christmas for some hope. It's looking to Christ for everything. Listen to that again. This message is not about looking to Christmas for a little hope. This is about looking at Christ for everything. I think it was Max Lucado that says, and I'll leave you with this, that you've got two choices with God. You either worship him or you run as fast as you can away from him. Wow. You either worship the Lord, you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, or you run as fast as you can. And there are men in this room today who've been running, and you know it. And there are women in this room who've been running, and you know it. And young people in this room, you've been running from the Lord. But there comes a time when you say, what am I going to do? Who do I look to? My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christ of Bethlehem was the Christ of Calvary, who's the Christ of the resurrection, the Christ of the ascension, and the Christ who's coming back. It really is that basic. Believe it today. Let's pray together.
Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.